Anthony Herron, Score football analyst.
It's only a preseason game. It's the first one, but we saw a lot of positive signs of the development that seems to be happening with Booker.
Former NFL defensive lineman and Iowa Hawkeye.
Brady couldn't find an open man. He's going to be sacked from behind. Anthony Herron receives credit for it. Tenacious job by Anthony Herron, number 99.
Mr. Hedden, I want to compliment you. You're doing a fine job.
Big and Herron on 670 The Score.
We love that music because that means one of our favorite guests is here, and he is also in studio as we broadcast live from the Score's Hyundai Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. It is the man, the myth, the legend, the Iowa Hawkeye. He's an analyst for the Score, Fox 32, and the Big Ten Network. It is Anthony Herron, Quadzilla.
I just want to point out, when the music pops like that, and before I ever worked at 670 The Score, I would always imagine that they literally pop the trunk and you would pop out, like ready to engage.
Quadzilla, though. Me and Marshall were just talking about back squats during the commercial break. Man, you might be doing too much. I don't know, because my quad they're not nearly as massive as they used to. Still difficult to buy off the rack, you know, for stuff to fit correctly.
Not NFL size, but they're not NFL size.
Not anymore.
Size.
But it's been a minute since I put some weight on a bar and put it over
and
my shoulders
onto
my
back.
Decided
to go down and come back up with it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, just be careful. That's all I'll say.
I'm being careful. That's why, I'm not squatting for at least 2 weeks.
For those of you who don't know, Marshall has a knee brace on.
Hey. Guess who else has a knee brace on?
But oh, my God.
I know I've definitely earned my knee brace, man. You should not be walking around here back squatting with knee braces on.
Listen,
you're doing too much.
Maybe I'm not doing enough. How about that?
Okay.
As far as preventive maintenance.
You know what? You might be onto something there. Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. But you know what? I don't think the Bears are doing enough.
Well, yeah, but hold on here. If we're going to get into the olds and the injuries,
right.
I thought he had bursitis.
No, I didn't have bursitis.
Oh, okay.
Quadriceps tendonitis. I'll be fine. It's acute quadriceps tendonitis.
Just itises all over
itises.
The place.
Yes. Got a case of that itis.
But I'm wide awake. I don't have the itis. I'm wide awake. Because you got to be wide awake. When Anthony Herron graces us in real life with his presence, you got to be wide awake.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm wondering.
What's up?
If you thought and you agree with the protocol that the Bears have now rolled out here for at least preseason game number one, with the 87 plays prior to the game for Caleb Williams and the fellow starters, followed by the game, followed by more practice for the guys who didn't play in the game the next day on a Monday.
I mean, they're at least trying to maximize even what I guess for a lot of teams would be considered downtime, because about half the league is doing it, one way, half the league is doing it the other way, where, we don't play the starters in the opener, we rest. And it's about sort of preventative maintenance. We were just talking about that with the knee. You're trying to mitigate risk by not putting your guys out there. But at some point, especially when you do still have young, developing talent, not just at quarterback, at wide receiver, I want to see Rome Odunze and see how he's responding to some live reps as well. There's a number of guys that I'm curious what the stimulus will do for them. If you're telling me Jaquan Brisker's being held out because we don't need a lot of extra impact from him, let's wait until these games count. I'm with that. But at some point, I'm hoping and I'm anticipating that we'll see it in preseason game number two. Back in my day, it was four preseason games, maybe five if you had the Hall of Fame game. Now you got three opportunities to at least get some true live work, some work that's not scripted, some reps against the opponent that is not in a controlled environment. And I do think this is a team that will benefit from that, and I anticipate seeing it. So, I don't have a big problem with it, but if I were the head coach of the squad, I just left Colts camp yesterday, Indianapolis. It sounds like they're going to have their guys out there all three games if they're healthy, because as Chris Ballard just told me yesterday, you get better at playing football by playing football, and I'm all for it.
He has some old school, I think, approaches when it comes to just traditional. I feel like things that people of our age, for example, grew up with when it came to a lot of the football philosophy. What brought you out there?
I was there for SiriusXM NFL Radio, and it's the second year in a row I've been out there. And of course, Anthony Richardson is, one of these guys going into year three, immense physical stature, arm strength, mobility, everything, you would kind of hope for a quarterback, but he just hadn't done it that much. And, we even talk about it from the Caleb Williams perspective with the Bears by comparison to his contemporaries, where Bo Nix has just had a lot more starts in major college football before coming to the league last year. Same with Jaden Daniels, fifth-year guys who started dozens and dozens of games. So they were just kind of more ready for primetime stepping into the league by comparison to Caleb, who still just hasn't had all those thousands of hours to turn a lot of things into muscle memory and to be calm, you know, under duress in a way that guys who've just done it more have. Anthony Richardson is even way further down the scale just from a reps perspective. But it was interesting just being there in Westfield, Indiana, and just watching, even comparing last year with this year for Anthony Richardson. You know, he did at, what, I think it was like 11 games he started for them last season, only four from his rookie year. You are seeing some development that's there. He does seem like he can pass the ball with more nuance as opposed to just being this big guy with a big arm just trying to throw the ball through everybody. You can see him processing that. He credits Matthew Stafford with that. It's fun now just hearing so many of the young quarterbacks in the sport now, and they put Matthew Stafford on a certain pedestal as a guy who's got as live an arm as you could hope for, but he's developed throughout his career the ability to process information, the mental aspect of the quarterback position he's gotten so much better at, but then also to be able to throw with anticipation, touch, nuance, turn the nose of the ball over, and things that, you know, as a young guy, you're not necessarily asked to do that as a high schooler, but Stafford has really developed that at a high level, and so many of the young guys throughout the sport kind of have him on a different plane as his ability to pass the football.
When you see what the Bears are doing compared to the other teams, and you say, you know, there's no maybe right or wrong way to do it, does that tell you that you need to give a certain amount of time before you truly evaluate Caleb Williams? I mean, we'll do it along the way, if you will, but I want to know at what point you're like, okay, you need to be this good by this date.
The development arc for Caleb just going into his second year, it's certainly going to be ongoing, I think, for years at this point because he's such a young football player. But the task they have right now is that this is, what, year four for Ryan Poles, certainly the first season for Ben Johnson. But, you know, you got a roster in place that you've expended capital to be able to bolster the offensive line. You are in this rookie window where you are hoping to be able to maximize how much you have, all these other positions, the D-line, the O-line, the playmakers, the secondary. You're going to have to come up and start paying some of those guys here. So your roster is right now, you're in a position where it can be as deep as it's going to be because a season or two from now, you're hoping you're going to have to pay your quarterback major money and eat up a big chunk of your salary cap. So right now, the position the roster's in should be able to have you, you know, kind of, in some ways, I guess, diminish the importance of the quarterback. And Ben Johnson even said that in that opening press conference that Caleb is important, but it's not all about Caleb. I'm anticipating we'll actually see that play out at least early in the year. And then as the season progresses, maybe they can put more and more on his shoulders. That's where it does surprise me a little bit that they haven't enhanced the running back room a little bit more and those types of things, because that's certainly a part of this offense is going to have to help carry things.
That's the part that I just does not compute with me. I don't get it.
Yeah.
I know that, number one, a universal truth is a quarterback's best friend is a good running game.
Right.
That will buy him so much time. Like, when you know that you've got that kind of offensive lineman group, and it goes back to just the need they had at the draft. This is who they have now. I understand that part of it. But to invest more in the running back situation when you knew that, like, he's going to be the one under fire for all this, if suddenly they have to pass a lot more than they realize.
And, yeah, to be clear, I did think Kyle Manunga was impressive in the first preseason game. I was happy to see that. He also looked young in certain ways, just like Luther Burden did, just like Ozzie Trapillo did. I mean, you're a rookie getting your first NFL action. You're usually going to look like a rookie, at least at some times, if not for the full game. But at least at running back, and I'll certainly give them, I think, this deference, at running back, that is a spot where you can get away with signing a guy late and just sort of infuse him into portions of the offense and say, you know what, you've run outside zone before. You know what's happening. The verbiage may be a little bit different. Just make sure you get the cadence down, and you can be a guy who's a part of this rushing attack. So it at least is a position where you can bolster your depth even late in camp.
I also want to ask you, though, we talked about it a little bit. 5'8 will show up on a football field. And I'm not trying to take anything away from Kyle Manungai. I also think that pass blocking is going to be something you get as a rookie later in the season and later
That's
in preseason
fair, yeah.
than now. What did you think of him in pass blocking responsibilities on Sunday?
A lot of it is about awareness. And, you know, there's certainly a moment that I think a lot of people noticed where, you know, there was a stretch fake and then the quarterback's booting out the back way. And then you get the edge defender who just comes in and, you know, next thing Kyle Manunga knows, his feet are way above his head. And that's not, it's not a position any football player wants to find themselves in, but that's a lack of awareness. And so even in addition to the stature, just getting that rep in a game, you would imagine he won't be caught slipping like that. And because the speed of the action here, I was just talking to Solomon Wilcox about it yesterday, just looking at everything and how the young guys, there is that transition where you recognize you may think you can blink or you can exhale really quickly in the midst of a snap. And then before you know it, there's some behemoth moving at a million miles an hour. It's just waiting to clean your clock. And so that awareness for Kyle Manunga, even as a guy who's fast and physical, but you can be fast and physical when you know where it's coming from. But then if something's going to catch you off guard, you know, in a proprioceptive sort of way, you have to have your mind ready to kind of, you know, take on different, you know, angles and pursuit of defenders and blocking surfaces that you have to be prepared for. So I think when he was ready for it, he was fine. There are certainly some moments in pass protection where you're going to have a blitzer or an edge defender or a defensive tackle just coming from this odd angle. And you've got to be ready to hunker down and take on and meet force with force. And as a rookie, you're just not going to having been put in all those positions yet.
All right, you say that for the running back as we are joined by Anthony Heron here in studio and Raheem and Harris to talk about all things Bears after they came up with a tie to start off their preseason, which means they still haven't lost in 2025. That's what that means. But Anthony, you're talking about Manunga. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about that left tackle position because it was fascinating to see the variety of ways in which both Ozzie Trapillo and Braxton Jones looked and reacted depending on what was going on up front. What was your overall kind of evaluation of what they were doing?
Well, Braxton Jones was fine. I thought that Ozzie Trapillo looked like a rookie. And, you know, I'm wondering how, because a lot of their reps have been kind of flopped as Braxton Jones has gotten more involved in 11-on-11 and live and team periods and everything, then they've kind of spent some time flopping them with Trapillo getting some of the team reps with the ones and Jones getting some of the others. It does seem like here as of late, Braxton Jones has been more frequently with the ones on offense, and it doesn't shock me, and it doesn't mean anything negative about Ozzie Trapillo. You know, he was not a top 10 pick as a left tackle. You do have experience available at that spot, and it may just take a few weeks for Trapillo to really showcase himself as a guy who they can trust to protect the blind side of Caleb Williams on a regular basis. But there's still a few weeks left before that first regular season game happens, and there can be a lot of growth from that preseason game one to that preseason game two. I'd like to see him, you know, drop his hips a little bit more. I'd like to see him really get force in the blockers, because at 6'8", it's just hard. It's really difficult to do that. It's one thing to have quick feet, but leverage is so important when you're that tall. And again, just like I was talking about with Kyle Manunga, the speed and the angle that defenders will attack you with and the leverage that they can have. Think about a guy like Grady Jarrett, who's, I mean, when you think about it, probably nearly a foot shorter than a guy like Ozzie Trapillo. So even if he's not a guy who's actually rushing the edge for Ozzie Trapillo, where he's got eyes on him the entire way, but if you got a zone or a scat blocking sort of scheme and you got to overtake a defensive tackle, if his pad level is down around your knees, it's really difficult at that height to be able to sink down and actually get adequate leverage to stop penetration from those types of guys. And those are situations that you can recognize and adjust your angle and recognize how you need to sort of situate your body pre-snap to get where you need to get. And sometimes it's just about, you know, continued physical maturity that it can take to really be in those positions also. And for Trapillo, it's probably going to be a combination of the two, but, you know, neither guy I would expect to just be holding down the left tackle position in a really staunch way right from game number one. But at least with Braxton Jones, you know the ceiling, you know the floor. He can play winning level football. And at some point, the hope can be that Trapillo will overtake him.
And how confident are you in what you've seen so far about knowing what this offense is going to look like, at least to start the season?
Yeah, that it's a tough one because it's the one preseason game. We've seen the practices. And what's as important as anything for Ben Johnson in working with not only Caleb Williams, but this offense as a whole. Like, I love the amount of time that DJ Moore has been getting in the backfield, because he, throughout his entire time in Chicago, has showcased kind of a, you know, a Debo sort of skill set. I think I told you guys frequently last year, He's really got more of a running back type of build and route running, and even the way he receives the football. He's not some kind of natural hands catcher that stretches his arms out and just plucks the ball naturally in flight. He's more of a body catcher, and he's been a high-level receiver, but he's really more of a playmaker as a wideout. Just get the rock in his hands, and it doesn't have to be on a nine route or a crosser or anything else. If you want to hand him the rock in the backfield, especially as the running back room is situated right now, not a lot of guys who are more capable with the football in their hands to make something big happen than DJ Moore. So I love that they've discovered that. They seem to be looking to accentuate that. But as much as anything, as much as the playbook that Ben Johnson wants to throw at Caleb Williams, he's got to make sure he's accentuating what Caleb can do well. And I would imagine that that's what this process continues to be about right now. Yeah, we're throwing it all at you. What do you do well? What are you least comfortable with? And then we can make sure that what's highlighted in our game plan on a weekly basis are the things you can do best.
DJ Moore is their best playmaker. The resume is the resume. My question is, how many times do you want to see DJ Moore touch the football? Because last year, that number varied, and it wasn't good.
Yeah, and part of that is just about how's the offense rolling. You know, can you get away with saying, yeah, we're going to have more drop back in a certain game and trust that it'll be distributed properly? Or if you're not getting that from the quarterback or from the pass protection, do we have to manufacture additional touches for DJ Moore? Because then you also have Colston Loveland, who seems like he'll be impressive with the ball in his hands. And you hope that Rome Odunze becomes a real threat with the football in his hands. So some of this is hope. But then also, like we were just talking about a moment ago, Layla, this run game is going to have to lead the way. And DeAndre Swift, he may not be a 20-plus carry a game guy between the tackles, but he is also a touchdown waiting to happen when you get him in space.
That is Anthony Heron alongside Marshall Harris and me, Layla Rahimi.